Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hey everyone, this is Corey from And the Podcast Will Rock. On Saturday, December 17th, Mark and I held a little live show on YouTube and on our website that we dubbed the Deep Dive December, where we invited some of our buddies from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network on the show to talk a little Van Halen with us, as well as some other fellow podcasters. Tonight, you're going to get part one of that marathon 5.5-hour live stream that we did. I just wanted to come on here real quick first and just apologize for the audio. Two things. One, I was trying a whole new setup on this live show with OBS and a bunch of other different applications, which visually I think went pretty well. If you go to our YouTube channel, you can actually watch the full video of these shows. I'm kind of cutting them down a little bit to make them a little more easier to ingest for you. But the audio, it was a real issue. And I couldn't hear that in my headphones when we were recording. It's very thin and buzzy and gross, and the song doesn't sound so great. So I just wanted to apologize up front for the audio, but I felt that the content was good enough that we would keep the show kind of as is. I tried to clean it up as much as I could, which isn't very much, unfortunately, but I hope you'll stick with it because we got a tremendous panel and some great songs we're going to be covering off of these three upcoming episodes. So please enjoy part one of Deep Dive December, right here on And the Podcast Will Rock.
Welcome all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between, whatever you want to label yourself, it's all good. You have joined us for another live edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, is Corey Morissette and so much more. Corey, how you feeling? Are you excited? Do you have your festive boozy drink with you?
I've got an entire decanter of boozy drinks. You can't see because of the damn Zoom background. But yeah, it's been a very stressful day. I was working all day. The hockey game I was shooting went very late. So I had to rush here and kind of get everything on the road. It's my first time using OBS for a live stream with Zoom with all these overlays and everything else. So the odds of me keeping the train on the track are slim to none. But we're going to have a good time, hopefully.
Absolutely. No, I have every confidence in the world in you. And so does everybody else. Well, but we do, and that's what matters. It's about believing. That's what the holidays are all about. We believe in you, and the people believe in us. Some of those people are some guests that we have joining us for the live show.
Yes, we built this as Deep Dive December. We wanted to hear from our Deep Dive brethren and our fellow podcasters. So we brought some of our favorites on here tonight, and hopefully some more are going to be popping on a little later. Let's start here on the bottom of our screen. You see in the deep, dark shadows is the sexiest man alive, Tom McGinnity. Right next to him is his brother, Sean. They are the Sean Geek and Fast Red podcast. How's it going tonight, boys?
Awesome.
Sweet.
Thank you very much for coming on the show. I know you were scheduled to be on the first live show, but some family matters kind of got in the way. So we're lucky that you guys were able to take a Saturday off in December and join us here tonight.
Yeah, it's great. We just I just finished wrapping all the Christmas gifts like 10 minutes ago.
Nice. Actually, I just did the same thing.
Awesome.
Well, that's perfect because there's still time to get something to me. Manitoba's not that far from Saskatchewan. I don't know if it'll get to Mark in time, but mine will arrive, so that's good.
It will not, but I would appreciate just the it's the thought that counts. So, you know, we'll just assume that the thoughtful gift is on the way.
Speaking of thoughtful, he has been so good to the show, and he keeps on it whenever our whims, you know, we decide we want a video recorded or anything. Kevin Brown is more than happy to do it up for us. We're actually going to play one here tonight, but Kevin Brown, host of the Tom Petty Project and the brand new Seaside Pod Review, where you know, you guys are spinning a wheel. It's very unique. It's never been done before in podcast history, but it's a fantastic show. I love what you guys are doing over there. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun tonight. It was great last time in the live stream, so I'm really looking forward to it, and I've got my coffee, coconut, chocolate, stout, ready to go. So we'll see how the night evolves after three or four of these. Could be good.
Perfect, perfect. And when you're talking the Deep Dive Podcast Network, you're talking about the godfather of the Deep Dive Podcast Network. I think he's been on every show. He's listened to every single episode of every single show. So we're going to be throwing to him a lot. You know, he's a podcaster. He's an author. He's an amateur magician. You know, you could see him performing with Cirque du Soleil on the Las Vegas Strip. It's the one and only Scott Haskin. How you doing, Scott?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me back. I had such a good time last time. I was really excited when I found out you were doing another one.
Yes, and we were hoping that more folks from the Deep Dive Podcast Network could make it, but unfortunately, you know, this is a busy time of year. So many of our podcasting brethren are overseas. So I know Hattie from the Judas Priest cast was saying, well, I might show up, but it's 8 a.m. on Sunday when you guys are going live. So she wasn't sure if she could make it, but we're happy to have Scott here because we're just going to put him on the spot when it comes to every single show when we go through the rundown. Maybe, Scott, as you do on the Backtracks Aerosmith show every week, why don't you give us a rundown on all the shows that people can find on the Deep Dive Podcast Network?
Well, I would be happy to do that, Corey. My gateway drug into this podcasting world was Nate and John at the Deep Purple podcast. I have a podcast called Uriah Heep, the Magician's Podcast. We have The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered. Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side. We have Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast. Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, Our Queen Podcast. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, our Hawkwind podcast. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. We have Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Mad Men, the ultimate Aussie podcast. We have Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers podcast. George and Hattie at Judas Priest cast. Mark, our own Mark and Corey at And the Podcast Will Rock, which we're listening to right now. John and Corey and myself do another show called Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, and then John and Corey do another show called Backtracks Theme Music. A lot of nepotism in this brotherhood. We have Clay and Rye at the North by South podcast, Greg and Jonathan and So Far So Pod So What. We have Kevin at the Tom Petty podcast, Quinn at N Volume for All, and we have Nick, Sav, John, and Mark at the Rock Roulette podcast.
There you go. That's the whole rundown. Yeah, quite a lot. And actually, we got a little pre-recorded message from the boys from the Deep Purple podcast. So let's cut to that right now.
Hello, thank you.
Hey, this
this is Van Halen in the very early days, the early club days, a bootleg of them playing Might Just Take Your Life by Deep Purple. And my name is Nate, and I'm the host of the Deep Purple podcast, along with my co-host, John. We've been doing the show for about 4 years now, almost at episode 200, and we do it every week, released on Mondays, and it's a deep dive into a particular Deep Purple album, live performance, one of the spin-off bands, a related band, or just something we feel like talking about that week. So we're also on the Deep Dive Podcast Network with all of these great folks, including, and the podcast Will Rock. Love the podcast. Listen to it every week. Always excited to see what episode's going to be coming up. And it's really expanded my appreciation and knowledge of Van Halen. So thanks for doing what you do, guys. You've been at it for over a year. You've made it further than almost 95% of podcasts out there. Great job. Really sorry that we couldn't make the live stream. And hopefully you'll be able to have us on, or one or both of us on, in the new year. So thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Have a great live stream.
All right, all right.
We are back. So that was the boys from the Deep Purple podcast, Nate and John. We actually just had John on Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. We taped that earlier this week. That's going to be coming out sometime in February, but we had a lot of fun with John. But we also have the boys from the Sean Geek and Fast Red podcast. Sean, maybe tell the folks a little bit about your show and what you got coming up.
Boy, it's basically Todd and I. We're two brothers. We're musicians. I'm the geek. He's the fret. We kind of we use our different perspectives to just talk about different topics. Music is very prominent on the show. We do talk a fair amount of Van Halen, Rush, and other things, of course. But yeah, that's basically it. Every week we find a topic to geek out or fret out about.
Or we don't have a topic and we just kind of wing it. And then we start off with one topic and then we take a left turn somewhere at Albuquerque. And then it doesn't look anything like the beginning of the podcast. So we just kind of...
I was thinking of getting a timeshare in Albuquerque. I thought it'd be a good place because we keep taking a wrong turn there.
We'll just stop overnight.
That's definitely been your last couple of shows. I thought it was going to go one way, then it turned into something completely different. It was pretty cool.
Give your timeshare to Albuquerque a go, but just steer clear of the little blue crystals. Fans of a TV show will know what I'm talking about on that.
Mark, we already got some people watching here tonight. We should bring this one up. Connor Burton Training already says, ready and excited. That's what she said. I'm a fan of anybody who's going to break out an Office reference on a Van Halen podcast. So hopefully Connor's still watching. Thank you very much. And then we got this contact here from Rava Flav. She got a doorbell sign that said, bring it or don't ring it. There you go. So a couple people watching anyway. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate you. There you go. Take a shot. It's live. Everyone take a drink every time I say that, because it's a catchphrase, apparently. There you are. Yay. And that's what it's all about for this show. We're going to be doing, if you're new to the show, by the way, thank you for somehow stumbling upon this. But what we do is we break down the catalog and discography of Van Halen, one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time. And we do it one track at a time. We spin a wheel, and whatever the wheel decides to bestow upon us, we listen to it and we talk about it. Everyone on this panel knows the drill. You know the drill. Chances are this is not your first time at the show. So welcome back. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in live. So, Corey, in terms of Van Halen news, I'm not sure there's a lot going on right now live, unless somebody on the panel has something to contribute to that. Anybody got anything going on?
Well, there's one thing that you can find on the Van Halen news desk. I didn't get a chance to listen to it yet, but they just posted this, I believe, today. Rock journalist Yaz Obrecht releases complete 1978 audio interview with Eddie Van Halen. So that would be really, really cool to hear from Eddie way back in 78. So there's also some upgraded footage from the 1980 World Invasion Tour that you can find currently on the Van Halen news desk. So I would recommend everybody go to the Van Halen news desk. Check both of those out. Eric Senich has said he is going to stop by a little later. He's hosting a concert right now, but once that's done, he's going to pop in. I said, considering how the last show, how long that one went, we're probably still going to be around. Probably just starting the second song actually around that time. So we'll have that to look forward to. But yeah, was there any? I know Scott Haskin mentioned he might have a little piece of Van Halen trivia he wanted to bust out.
Ah,
well, it's kind of a multi-part trivia question. But what I didn't tell you, Corey, is that it's actually related to the show The Office.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
So I'll throw the first part out to you guys. What Van Halen song did The Office attempt to license for one of their episodes?
Oh, man.
I've only seen the UK Office.
Oh, really?
Shocking, but yeah, I've never watched the American one. So, I mean, I could take a stab.
Yeah. American one's better. You know what? Maybe Rave of Flame is onto something. He said, "Give me something to write on, man." I'm gonna guess "Hot for Teacher," because my man Rave of Flame threw out a "Hot for Teacher" quote on there.
Okay. Anybody else got a guess?
I'm gonna go with "Ain't Talking About Love."
I'm going with "Right Now."
Okay. Anybody else?
I'll guess "Black and Blue," because why not?
Todd?
Unchained.
Well, it was "Right Now."
Oh, good. Oh, Gino nice. Guessed Panama. Sorry, it wasn't Panama. Good guess, though.
Yeah. I will say the song did not make it in because they wanted to charge a little more than The Office wanted to pay. Anybody want to take a stab at how much the licensing fee was to play about 30 seconds of the song?
$50,000.
Okay.
I'll say $100,000.
Okay.
I'm going to go with $250,000.
That's exactly what I was going to say, because I think The Office has got a big budget, and I think anything under that, I think they would have just said, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that was the premise besides asking for the $100,000. Corey, you're right. Because they figured that The Office had a big budget. What people don't understand is, yes, but we don't have a big music budget.
that's very, very true.
So they chose not to go with that song. I'll give you a clue on this part of it. What song did they replace it with that is related to the band Black Sabbath?
You can't give us an episode hint or anything?
Or a clue.
I could tell you the episode. I'm not sure it's going to help, though. It's the seminar.
Okay.
In which Andy tried to get people to buy into his program.
Right.
Yeah, wasn't it... Oh, no, I might be thinking of a different...
So you said related to Black Sabbath, not Black Sabbath.
Correct. Related to Black Sabbath.
Related to Black Sabbath, okay.
Oh, it was Crazy Train, because Kevin Malone, the character, starts running in with his presentation to that song.
That's right, slapping hands, yeah.
And nearly passes out about 30 seconds in. So the final part of this question is then, how much did the publishers of Crazy Train charge The Office to allow it on the show?
Oh, God.
$25,000.
Okay.
It's Sharon. I'm guessing 75.
Good call.
I'll, I'll go 50 then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Todd?
I'll bid a dollar.
Nice. Well played.
Without going over.
Price is right rules always. Yeah.
Price is right rules. This time it's Kevin. $50,000 was what they paid. So they still had a fairly substantial music budget. I mean, $50,000 for about 30 seconds of music is a lot of money to pay.
Okay.
But this is how a lot of artists are making their money now. They're not making it on record sales and things. Licensing has really become a huge thing. Mm-hmm. So that's why Van Halen pushed for the $100,000. That's why they didn't get in the show.
Well, the show was a hit at that time. Had they asked season one or two, they had no budget.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would have been, you know, a few thousand dollars probably would have been the offer if it had been season one or two. But this is like season six or seven, I think.
Yeah.
So by that point, they were into
like five
the,
or six.
Making bank.
And you think, though, that's just one 30-second clip. You think of how many 30-second clips or 10 or 15-second clips they need for a series? Like,
Well, and I think that's why you don't hear a lot of music on shows like The Office. Well, for one, it's documentary style. So unless they're in somebody's car or unless somebody's singing a song or something, there's not really a lot of logistical room for it. But I don't know. I think right now would have been a great pick for that scene.
I'll tell you, season one or two, they would add about $500 for a song. So they probably would have got something from Disturbed.
Limp Bizkit.
Bringing that one, Limp Bizkit, bringing that there you one go. Back. You're bringing that back. So tune into a Friday show. Or tune into Backtracks, actually.
Yeah, the next Backtracks theme music. Yeah, we did. Yeah. We actually did a Queen song, Kevin. Mark picked Who Wants to Live Forever from Highlander.
Highlander.
Yeah,
great song.
Terrific song.
They suggested David Draiman would be a good one to cover Who Wants to Live Forever on the Highlander reboot soundtrack, and I disagreed.
And Corey had a conniption at that suggestion. Just the very idea was so absurd that John must be under the influence of something. I personally said I think Devin Townsend would crush a cover of that.
Oh,
but,
God, yeah.
Devin Townsend, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. But let that be a lesson to all you would-be musicians out there. Get your music licensed so you can have it played on TV and movies, because merch sales aren't going to do it for you either, apparently, according to a lot of articles I've been reading lately. It's tough out there playing music, but it wasn't tough for Van Halen, obviously, because look at them. They've become one of the biggest superstar bands of all time, really, and very influential. And that's why we're here, and that's why we're celebrating it. You got any more trivia there, Scott?
That's the expanse of my Van Halen knowledge right there.
All right, let's wrap it up. We have some other things we need to do, including reading the Twitter comments, because
exactly
last week, which was literally yesterday, we dropped the show Love Walks In, and we had a lot of fun talking about Sammy and his extraterrestrial friends, although one commenter very mad at us, we call this immature basically, because he thought it was a beautiful love song. Let's maybe get to the Twitter comments, Mark, if you will, from Love Walks In.
Absolutely, we did Love Walks In at the Rockin' Pole. This one was kind of what I expected anyway. We had a whopping 74.4% What Dreams Are Made Of, and a 25.6% The Dream Is Over. And if you tuned into the show, you know exactly which way Corey and I voted. So I have not looked at the commentary, so I'm very excited / I'm ready to roll my eyes at what's going to be said. But let's dive right into it. Kyle Anderson says, going against the cult of Mark the Bat, I resent that. Love Walks In is what dreams are made of. When I hear the song, dreams walk in. Well, I'm very happy for you, Kyle. For me, not so much. So there it is. From some familiar faces called Sean Geek and Fast Fret Podcast, seems like good dudes, they say there is very little that can go wrong on this album, and some of these songs are they age like fine wine. All that being said, the song is now always going to be awkward for me from here on out. It was bad enough when Sammy explained it was aliens, but I was hoping it was really a metaphor and kept the song special. But now, with American Pie explanations from Mariano and other awkward alien anal probes, well, this song has been sullied. But damn, did you all make me laugh hard. Well, we live to entertain. Sean. So I apologize that now your association with this song is sullied. You can thank both Corey and John Mariano for that.
Hey, I hate John. I hate John now. He just ruined that song for me, man. God damn it.
Good point. Christy from backstage over here said, I think John lives for that hatred, and he does. It gives him power, and we love him for it.
Christy also says, who doesn't like this song? How? Mark, you voted down this song, so explain to Christy why.
Well, okay, I'll explain to the troll in the chat.
Wait, who's behind you? Who's behind you right now? Who's behind you right now? Somebody's coming right behind you right now.
We have a beautiful trees behind me, nothing else. But I'll explain to this Christy person. The song, as I explained on the show, if only they listened to the show, what a concept. It's not a terrible song. It's not. There was a lot that I liked about it. However, it just didn't land where I was hoping it would land. Whether or not that had to do with the context being provided while we were listening to the song from two different parties, I don't know. Who's to say? But just the song itself, for all of its good things, it just didn't work for me. But that's just me. So there you are, Christy. I hope I adequately answered that question for you. And if I didn't, oh well. Moving on. Some guy named Kevin Brown says, "Brilliant episode again, guys. Good to hear Uncle Salty John on the show." Uncle Salty, that's his name now. Yep. Killer track. Shows that Eddie could write a perfect pop song as well as a perfect hard rock song. Superb keyboards throughout, another guitar, slick solo, and great vocals. And we don't talk about those lyrics. No, Kevin, we don't. We don't need to. Like, especially now that we know, we don't need to talk about them ever again. Jonathan P. Todd says, "Need more of John Teenage Cult of Asgard Ejaculate Mariano on. Great episode." I mean, you can message him directly, Jonathan, for that separate show. But we only need so many of those on our.
Oh God.
You know, and you talk to Corey about that. He works enough with John as it is. But moving on into more of the commentary on the tweets. Jonathan Pitot says, "Great song. I wish you could have spent more time on the music. The bass line is top three in the Van Halen catalog. The solo, it is a piece of music by itself, and I love the lyrics. So much to interpret." Well, we tried. We tried very much to stay on the music, and, the fates just decided that wasn't in the cards for that episode. So I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you, but maybe one day we'll do like a redux and try again. I don't know.
He's dead on the money about that solo, though. Like, absolutely.
Oh yeah, no, fantastic solo. I just wish I could have appreciated it more. My brain was just too boggled by all the information I was being given at that time. Gene Hickey says, "Song is thumbs up. Had trouble sleeping last night. Worried about coming around and waking up to find aliens waiting for my opening to pull my string. Put on the TV and American Pie was on. This episode may require some therapy." Yes, Gene, and that's why you listen to us, for your therapeutic needs. Yeah,
it's why he did listen to us. I think we may have lost Gene, which is unfortunate because he's fantastic.
Sorry, Gene. Well, maybe you'll come back to us one day. The Deep Purple Yule cast, friends of the show, obviously. "I enjoy this song despite the insane explanations you read by Sammy Hagar about what the song is about. Yikes." So, I know. Yikes is definitely a word to be used for all of that. Gregory Muse says, "Okay, too many beers while listening to the podcast, but as long as
Attaboy.
Eddie's playing, I'm happy. Big thumbs up."
Attaboy, Gregory. Love it.
I mean, that definitely is a show for getting your drink on and just having a laugh, because, as I say, we're nothing if not entertaining, even if the song we're talking about it's out there. Someone by the name of Fan Halen with a PH, see what you did there. "Absolutely awesome. One of my faves, and Ed's second solo was the most soulful he ever laid down, in my opinion." That is a take, but it is a good solo, so I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
"Der Urs, a very 80s song and sound that did not age so well." Well, I mean, sure, that's up for interpretation. I would only agree with you a tiny bit, but I would say there's nothing wrong with sounding too 80s. What's wrong with that? It's great.
Absolutely not.
Great.
I'm going to interrupt you here quick because we've got some YouTube comments coming in before we get back to the tweets.
Please.
First, Christy says, "Should I not listen to the episode? Will it kill it for me?" Chaz responded with, "It's like the Brokeback Top Gun clip. Context changes everything." Yep, 100%. But then Chaz also said it was their funniest episode ever. So thank you very much for that. Yep, that's the glory and wonder that is John Mariano. He's the STD that just won't go away. Chaz says, "I'm illiterate too." Well, so am I, my friend. So join the club. Christy came back with, "I heard it upstairs in the recording room while happening. It sounded like Mark had fallen at one point. Did you fall?
I fell down.
Yeah.
She thought I fell because I was laughing so hard, or I was just making so much noise, just in my confusion, that she had to check on me to make sure everything was okay.
Well, and here's a comment from Gene who says, "You're a lot cheaper than therapy. I'm still here." All right, we still got Gene. Right. That's awesome. Thanks, buddy. Glad you're still here. And then Christy can vouch for that. So
for something, whatever
for
that is.
For something, yeah. She's vouching for it. Maybe the funniest episode, I'm not sure. Or the fact that Mark fell down. One of the two.
Yeah, sure. It's fine. But so back to the...
Some dude named Sean Geek and Fast Fred said, "You're all so damn pretty." Isn't that true? Isn't that true?
Oh, we try.
We got some eye candy on the show here, yeah.
This is the best faces in podcasting right here.
There's a reason mine stays audio only.
Look at how little hair there is, right? There's only like two people that...
I'll tell you, from my perspective, it's a challenging wank. Like, it's a real
challenge. I'm trying, yeah. Thank God John's not here, because he'd be splooging all over the place, yeah. Like I said, that Zoom call from 2 months ago, you don't want to be a part of.
Oh, boy. All right, moving up back to the tweets. Scott Everett says, love Walks In. Music has matured and got more pop, but still all around fantastic. Sammy with meaningful lyrics that match the music brilliantly. Not going to be everyone's favorite because change is hard. He goes on to say, when the music matures and the podcast doesn't. Wow. Pulls at the heartstrings. Reach for the opening in her heart. This don't that hard. I'm sure you meant to say something smart there.
Yeah.
Sammy does a really nice job in the lyrics on this one, if you think a little. Oh, I see. Well, clearly you haven't listened to the show much, Scott, because you know we don't think here at the podcast, because we're not thinking experts. You don't come to listen to us think, so you know it is what it is. And no, I'm not going to mature the podcast with the music, Mr. Poopy Pants. Moving on. False Premise says, it's definitely a different vibe from the original Van Halen with David Lee Roth, but the lead and background vocals are great. The piano hook is killer, and the guitar solo is pure Eddie Van Halen mastery. In fact, you might call the tone dreamy. Ooh. What dreams are made of? Nicely said. Well said, even if I only kind of agree with you on a couple of those things. Brad Gould said, one of Eddie's best solos, even on the much bashed live album. Probably so, because that solo does rip. Mm-hmm. And Josh at Upper Mid says, well-crafted and played pop song. The lyrics could have included intergalactic tummy sticks, and I still would listen. What the hell are intergalactic tummy sticks? I don't know. I want to know?
No,
ask
I don't.
John. John, yeah. I feel like John would know.
John would know.
And that's it. That's it for the tweets. Didn't get hit as hard as I thought I was going to personally. Just that we're not mature enough to be talking about Van Halen lyrics, even when they are...
It's literally a song about aliens. Like it's not about tugging at her heartstrings. It's about aliens.
Corey, if you just would think a little...
That's true.
Then you would know that it's just not about aliens. Wow, Corey.
My best friend Chaz Charles says, thinking? We don't need no stinking thinking here. And I agree 100%. Yeah. And I still upvoted the song. I like the song. Mark's the one that fucked on it. He hates it.
Mark's the one that ruined the full sweep of yeses. Like, sorry. Right. Sometimes I have to be the contrarian. Or maybe it was just an off show. I tended to be agreeing with John Mariano a little too much in that show, so
he brainwashed you. Yeah, he brainwashed you.
Well, he nearly did. He nearly did until I said, "No, I am not voting this a yes." There you have it. There are the tweets. There's what everyone says, and I'm fully prepared for everyone on the panel to tell me how crazy I am for downvoting that song. It's okay. It's okay.
Christy says, "Damn, Mark, way to go."
I know. It's disappointment all around. But you know what's not disappointing? This star-studded crew that we have and the show that we are about to give to you, because it is that time to go to the wheel. And before we spin it, we've got to manifest. Take a shot. So now that we have so many people other than Corey and myself, this is going to be real, real interesting. So starting over there at the end of the table there, we're going to start with the brothers, Sean Geek and Fast Fret there. Todd, I'm going to start with you. On this live show, you're joining us. Thank you so much for being here. What song do you want the wheel to bestow upon us that we can talk about? What's one that we haven't done that you're just itching to talk about?
Top Jimmy.
Oh, we've done Top Jimmy.
So
good pick, though. Great song.
Good pick.
Yeah.
Did you want me to pick another one?
Yes. Pick, yeah. What's your backup?
My backup? Unchained.
We've done Unchained.
That one's okay.
0-2. You can tell Todd listens to the show.
Let's see. Pretty Woman.
Well, Todd is a big fan of the show. It's we appreciate him.
Todd doesn't listen to our show either, so it's fine.
No, it's totally fine. Todd, you're going to feel so good when you go back and look at our catalog and see all of these songs that you want to hear about so much. We have them all. You know what? I'm gonna skip you for now. I'm gonna go over to Sean. Sean, what about you, man? What song would you like for this live show for us to really dig into?
Lost Control, Lost Control, Lost Control.
That's well, what I want.
Good one, yeah.
Yeah, very good one.
Just because, I don't know, I've been listening to Women and Children First a lot because of your show, I guess, more than anything. And I keep forgetting what a great album it is. And there's just so much great stuff on there. And it's kind of like a deep track album, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to hear that one.
Ooh,
awesome!
Just because the solos in that song are wicked.
Well,
I want to hear Mark listen to them and go, "Holy shit!"
That would be probably a good reaction because my familiarity with that particular track is very, very minimum. So yeah, I would love the pleasant surprise. So here's hoping. But Scott, what particular track are you aiming to hear that we can talk about tonight?
I don't think that you've done the song as is, have you?
I don't believe we have.
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe we've done as is. So.
Before we go on, I'm feeling very uncomfortable when I don't know about something. Mm-hmm. So being part of the Deep Dive Podcast Network, of course, I had to dig into this intergalactic tummy sticks thing. Oh, God. So according to Urban Dictionary, which is a, you know, this is the hallmark of definitions,
we all use it.
Tummy sticks, and we're just going to have to add the word intergalactic to the definition. Tummy sticks is a situation commonly referred to as a game, whether you ever want to play it or not, I'll leave up to you, in which two erect men cuddle closely and face to face, causing their two erect penises or sticks to push upwards between their stomachs or tummies. Sticks combine with tummies, hence the name tummy sticks. So in case you mute my mic for the rest of the show, it's been really great to be on. And there you have it.
I am all of a sudden very glad John Mariano is not here.
Don't invoke his name because you know he's like that Beetlejuice fella. He's just gonna
Won't say it three times. Look in the mirror, otherwise he's gonna show up.
Chrissy said he'll bust in like the Kool-Aid man, and just like there he is. That is accurate. So everyone, shh. Kevin Brown, what particular song of the Van Halen catalog would you like to hear that we may not have done?
I got two. I got one DLR, one Sammy.
Oh, please.
Sammy, I think, you know, for an episode like this, I think Pound Cake would just take the roof off. It would be because it's such a great song. I want to talk about Alex's drums on that song are off the chart.
Yep.
Or the other song that I've been obsessed with lately is I'm the One. And the guitar in that, I honestly think, when you listen to the isolated guitar track from that song, that might be the single greatest rock guitar performance of all time. Any band, any era. It's just incredible. I've been getting into Phil X lately, and he does on his YouTube channel, there's an episode called No One Swings Like the King, and he breaks down exactly why that song's so hard to play because of Eddie's really very specific swing that he had. So either I'm the One or Pound Cake are the ones I'm rooting for.
Fantastic. Love them both. Before you keep going, Mark, we got some viewers who ought to manifest something. Chaz wants to manifest a return of How Many Say I? Because he's a glutton for punishment, I guess. So no, that's off the wheel. That's not happening, Chaz. I'm sorry.
We like you, Chaz. We like you a lot. But honestly, with all due respect, fuck off.
Connor Burton says Romeo Delight. That'd be a great one, too, right? That's a great pick. And our good friend Gene says Light Up the Sky. There's another classic Dave track. So we got some really good ones there. And actually, somebody... I don't have their name offhand, but they actually said they were manifesting I'm the One. They couldn't be here tonight, but they were manifesting I'm the One. So that's another one along with Kevin. That's a double manifestation. So hopefully that one comes through.
Well, there you go. Both the powers. Corey, before I move on to you, you get another second to kind of make your guesses, make your decision. My dear, what song would you like to manifest on the show? She burned her manifestation. She doesn't have to say it out loud. I'll say it out loud for her. She wants Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. I was going to guess that. Yep.
It's going to be Amsterdam. That's you don't fool me. So there you have it. Yeah. So a lot of Sammy manifestations. I'm not mad about it. Corey, how about you?
Well, we have one more come in from our good friend Brian. He wants Little Guitars. Uh-huh. Great one off of Diver Down. That'd be fantastic. Chaz is laughing maniacally, as he always does.
I think when we covered that Diver Down on our episode, that was ranked like one of the top three songs on the album for us.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and it would be for me too. That's an absolute standout.
Top one for me.
Yeah, I'm going to cop out like Kevin did and pick two. Because he's a coward and I'm a coward. We're both from Saskatchewan. I'm going to pick a Sammy and a Dave for a Sammy track. I'm feeling in the mood to fuck. We haven't had a lot of fucking going on here, but
not so much. No.
Kevin picked Pound Cake, which I would not be mad at. Oh, there you go, attaboy. And it's very cold in Canada. Yeah, you got to do something to keep warm.
It's very cold today.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Runaround, which is one of my favorites from FUCK. So I'm hoping for that one. For a Dave track, Somebody Get Me a Doctor. This is why I don't sing, but. I've been in Van Halen 2 kick, and Somebody Get Me Doctor is one of my favorite tracks off that one. So those are the two I'm going to go with. Mark Kammeyer, what are you in the mood for? And don't pick Amsterdam because that's what Christy picked. Actually, you know, put on your big boy pants and pick a Mark song.
I've got my big boy pants on right now. So, no, I'm not going to pick that because I already knew that was going to be manifested. So I am also going to give you two.
Okay.
I'm going to... obviously have a Sammy tune, and that tune is one I've been waiting for, and I think now's the time. I want Humans Being.
Oh yes,
that's the one I want. That's the one I want to just absolutely talk about to the live long day. And then the other track is this David Lee Roth era tune, and it's called Ain't Talking About Love, because we still haven't done it, and I really want it because it's so damn good. And you know, and I don't care if you already know how I'm gonna vote against it, it's fine. It's a great tune. Why shouldn't we be discussing it? So those are my two picks for this live show.
Awesome. All right, well, there are currently six of us on the call, so I'm going to bring up the wheel here
six times.
Yep, let's do a fade. Okay, everybody on the stream should be able to see. Now, how can I interact with this? Interact. Okay, we're going to shuffle this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right, Sammy's warming up his pipes. Here we go. Let's find out what we get.
Here we go.
Oh, we almost got Run Around. Oh, we were so close.
We almost got it.
Oh, Dancing in the Streets from Diver Down. We were literally an inch away from Run Around.
So close.
Oh, no. But still, we got Dancing in the Streets.
Can we play Pleasure Dome instead?
Fuck you.
Hey, there's still time. So, yeah.
Yeah, we got another show that we're doing here.
Yeah. Keep those manifestations.
That's a good keep them going. Right there.
Yeah. We made it 50 minutes without a Pleasure Dome reference. That's a record.
That is a record.
That is a record, yeah. All right.
About making it, but didn't happen.
Mark, take it away. We got Diver Down. We got Dancing in the Streets. Oh,
we
boy.
Do.
Yep. Go ahead. What do you think?
Yeah, not a Van Halen original. Not one that the band, according to, you know, what little research that we do, because we're not experts here, but not ones that they thought they wanted to do. Not ones they thought they could pull off. But here they are. They recorded it. Whether or not they pulled it off, well, I guess that will be up to us as on the panel to discuss whether or not we think they pulled this song off. Kevin Brown, you have any fond memories of Dancing in the Street whatsoever without showing your hand?
Without showing my hand, okay. I have memories of it, yeah. I have specific memories of the Bowie and Jagger cover, which...
Parachute pants.
Yeah, it ain't great. And, you know, it's... I don't know. It's got some Eddie guitar in it, so I don't know. We'll see. Once I listen to it again, I haven't listened to it for a while, I'll say that.
There we go. I happen to notice a particular reaction from Sean. It doesn't seem like you're excited to talk about this particular track. Any reasons why?
Well, if anyone listened to our episode on the album Diver Down that we had Eric Senich on, we talked about this one quite a bit. I'm going to save it for this episode to talk about my love for this song.
Oh, I can't wait to get into the finer details of this all. Let's see. The fond memories I have of Dancing in the Street is there's a scene in Sister Act 2 in which the nuns all perform on the street this song. It's not exactly the Van Halen version of it, but early memories of this song for me personally, that pops up. As for Van Halen's cover of it, I'll save it. I'll save it for when we actually get into the meat of the song. But Scott, how about you? Fond memories or just memories?
I know I've heard the version by Van Halen a couple times, but my memory actually goes to the original version of the song. Growing up in Detroit, for some reason, down near Cobo Hall, which no longer exists, which was right down the street from Joe Louis Arena, which no longer exists, there was a fountain in the shape of a wing nut, because of course there was. And there was a commercial film there where they played the original version of the song, and they had choreographed this huge dance number with lots of people. It was the first time I had seen anything like it. So it had made an impact. It's a good song. I don't remember much about Van Halen's version of it, so I'm curious to be refreshed.
All right. Well, a refreshment is what you will get. And speaking of which, you know, everyone have it handy, because there's a good chance a lot of repeated phrases will come into play, and you will have to do your due diligence and take your shots. So here we are. Corey, whenever everything is queued up and you're ready, I'm ready. Let's give Dancing in the Street from Diver Down a listen.
Just out of curiosity, Corey, does anyone have any mulligans left? I'm just curious. Apropos of nothing, I'm just curious.
As it turns out,
I'm kind of with you. I'm kind of with you, Kev.
Okay. This is my mulligan to get me through the song.
You know, on the which song was it you guys did? We were talking about Jan Hammer. That was the one before last week, right? Which I can't remember which episode that was. But this song's got
that was Al Lee.
Right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Al Lee. Yeah, and this has got that almost sort of programmed drums, a real sort of those key change, that step down key change. It's got all the hallmarks of that Axe Left kind of Beverly Hills Cop feel to it to me, right? So straight out the gate, it doesn't sound anything like Van Halen at all.
It sounds like it belongs to the Miami Vice soundtrack. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, no one else is cutting in, so I think I don't know. I'm sorry. I know we don't want to sort of prolong this, but does anyone know whose idea it was to cover this one? Was it Dave?
What's it, Dave? Yep, 100%.
All the way. Yeah.
This one, and then, you know, I mean, we talk about Diver Down. It's my least favorite Van Halen album other than three, I think, probably. Just because the covers are just, they're so jarring when you've got little guitars on there, which is so fantastic, and some of the other originals are really good songs, and then you've got these weird choices for covers, and this is such an odd choice, right? They could have done anything. They could have done a ZZ Top song. They could have done a fucking Chuck Berry song or something. It's something that sort of fits a little bit closer, but I think in trying to take on these songs like Oh Pretty Woman and this one that are so far away from their normal sound, I just don't think they hit it.
They should have just covered Beat It on this album and just make a circular reference about it. Honestly, like, imagine if they covered Beat It instead of this. I think that would be cool as hell.
There was kind of already a Van Halen involvement with Beat It. So, you know, would it really have been a cover?
It would have been cool to hear Dave Lee Roth sing that, though, actually.
Hell yeah.
That would have been a really cool song for him to sing.
Yeah. You can definitely tell that this was a Dave pick of a song because you can hear just how much fun he's having singing it. As far as everyone else in the band goes, who's to say? Yeah. I can hear it in Dave's voice. He absolutely just wants to go full on. I believe we even have a comment in the chat right now. saying that Dave was absolutely right about the song and they owned it by Chaz. That's what Chaz says. So I don't know if they owned it entirely. We've just got into the song, but you can definitely tell Dave was jazzed about doing it. You can hear it.
This could have easily been the fifth track on Crazy from the Heat, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it didn't need the Van Halen brothers on here at all.
Yeah, it kind of has just a gigolo kind of vibe to it, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
That's because it's got Dave's inflection just all over it. So, I mean, you know, just like just a gigolo.
What do you think, Todd? You're a big guitar guy. All we got here is synthesizers. What are you thinking?
Oh, when I first heard it, I had that constipation look on my face. And I'm going, what am I listening to? Like, I'm waiting for Eddie to come in, and all of a sudden he hears wop, 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 wop at the beginning. And, I mean, I know he'd done some keyboards and some songs, but... But this was something right out of left field.
Well, you're absolutely right. Chaz says, watch the videos live. Ed has a shit-eating grin every video I've ever seen. So
that's just his trademark.
Yeah, he kind of grinned like that on everything. But I get it. Chaz is a big fan of this track, so that's cool.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if I heard this on the radio from the beginning, I would not have thought it was a Van Halen song. As it went into the song, I probably would have thought it was a David Lee Roth solo song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't really feel like it has that Van Halen stamp on it. But I do love that heavy reverb that they've got on Dave's voice during the verse. That really trails off nicely. I like that in the production.
Excellent. Let's keep rolling.
Man, that chorus is screaming out for Michael Anthony doing high harmony on that lead vocal. Yeah. Like, I know they've got the ooze in the background, but that would have just killed, right? I mean, because I think in the original Martha and the Vandellas, the vocals are layered all throughout, and it would have been so cool to hear that. And Ed, right? Just really layer and fatten that chorus up, because it's a little bit thin maybe in the chorus. I don't know.
And it's so great on the Dancing in the Streets whenever they come in, right? Yeah, just more of that. And even Charles says, those harmonies, yeah, give us more. Yeah, on the chorus, it would have beefed it up quite nicely. I agree with you 100%.
Was Eddie even singing on the harmonies there? Or was that just Michael? I'm not even really sure.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell from listening to it. Huh?
Yeah, it felt like there was another voice in there, but I'm not... Yeah, it couldn't tell you.
Do hear that cowbell? I've only just noticed that. I only just picked up on that.
Yeah.
Those little doubles on the cowbell. I was like, oh, actually, I quite like that. That's pretty good.
I purposely didn't mention it because I was hoping somebody else would catch it and until we got to the end of the song and go like, really? Nobody mentioned the cowbell?
We have three drummers on the panel. I was waiting for one of them, and Kevin finally piped up. So.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah. It does give it a little bit of a Latin feel, just because of the way that the beat is. I mean, not that a cowbell would necessarily do that, but just with that beat, it definitely has that feel. I really like it, though. I think while it doesn't feel to me like a Van Halen song, I still like it on its own.
So one thing too, like I don't know, Scott, on the producing side, because I know you've done a lot more of that than certainly it's not in my bailiwick, but they've got that low end bass on the keyboard on the synth, and it's almost clashing with what Mike's playing on the bass, because there's a bass in there for sure, but it's almost sort of you're taking up the same sonic space with those two parts. It seems to muddy it a little bit. I don't know, you catching that, or is that me being crazy?
No, I thought about that too. I think for me, if I were engineering this song, I probably would have panned them a little bit differently so that they could each survive in their own space, maybe EQ'd some of the low end or put a little more gain on one of them just to separate the sound a little bit more. But yeah, I do feel like they're kind of muddying each other up a little bit.
How different would this song have been if Eddie would have transposed it from the keyboard to his guitar? Just
a
kind of the same way as AC/DC did with Thunderstruck.
Yeah,
I mean, he's doing the same riff pretty much throughout the whole song, but it's through the guitar and not the keyboards. Mm. And he could have, I mean, in all the effects and tricks and sounds that he uses, I mean, he uses everything with the guitar. I mean, he'll tickle the springs on the back of the guitar just to get them to ring in the background, or you know, give a scrape up the very, very top where the neck is, just to give some unique sound. So I could see him doing something totally different to this song if he would have just done it to the guitar. I would have been curious to see what he would have came up with.
And what about with the 5150 sound? I think that tone worked really well with this, because that's got a bit more, bit more treble on it, a bit more staccato kind of punch to it. So
Well, wasn't that the problem, though, is that he didn't have any ideas of what to do with it, and so they kind of defaulted to this?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Scott. Yeah, Eric had brought it up on our show where he had said he didn't have anything prepared, so this is like a half-finished song because he didn't – I don't have anything, and they're like, okay, well, here's everything. And they just kind of put it in without, like, really finishing the song.
So just a rush job.
He couldn't come up with anything.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop putting so much into my music and get famous.
It's funny, I found a quote from Dave here, which is kind of interesting. He says, quote, "It sounds like more than four people are playing, when in actuality there are almost zero overdubs. That's why it takes us such a short amount of time to record."
Huh.
Yeah, well, that sounds like we need two more songs for the album, let's just do something.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Get through it, and we've got no more studio time left, just that's good enough, I don't know.
Does anybody know how long it took to make this album? Because this album was, like, rushed, right?
Oh, yeah.
They did Oh Pretty Woman, it charted, it did really well, and it's like they suddenly had to put together an album. So they had to rush it through really quick. I wonder what that time frame was.
It says January to March, 82, 3 months.
3 months, holy shit.
Wow.
That's a short time. Yeah, that's
crazy. That's a very short time.
Yeah.
That's criminal. Like, if they had 6 months on this, I think this song probably would have been better, or it might not have been on here at all.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, that was the grueling schedule back then. Like, album, keep going.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, this one was unique in that they were going to take a break, and then David said, we need something to tide people over, or they're going to forget about us. So they put out Oh Pretty Woman, and it charted, like you said, Sean, and then...
Yep.
The label's like, we need an album now. So, they had, like, no time to go in there and cut it. And he only had a few songs, things like little guitars and stuff. And then,
well, here's an interesting thing is because Dave had propositioned using Dancing in the Streets before. Yep. So what if they had done that song instead of Oh Pretty Woman? And that's the one they had done a video for, and wearing parachute pants and stuff. And they had released it and it didn't chart, then they wouldn't have had to go into the studio so quickly for this album. And then maybe they would have put something else out that would have been quite a bit different. Maybe Fair Warning would have happened a little sooner.
So you're blaming the success of Oh Pretty Woman?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because okay. they had 3 months to do this album, though, right? Yeah. Because of Pretty Woman was so huge for them. Suddenly, oh, shit, now we have 3 months to put an album out.
Which one, have you guys ever heard the Kinks version of this song?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yep. If you're a rock band covering this song, that's your template, surely.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, it's stripped down. It's really choppy and easy and a bit kind of garage feeling.
It's weird that they didn't do that. That's actually interesting. Or did the Kinks come out before Van Halen or after?
Oh, God, that was on like their, I think they're like their first or second album. Oh, so that would have been. Yeah.
So way
that
before.
That would have been the 60s, way before.
Well, it just seems to me like Dave had a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings about wanting to do this particular track. So maybe it was on him where he was saying like, no, we can do it, but let's make it sound like this, or like try that. And like, okay, sure. Because I'm not going to argue with you. We don't have enough time. So, maybe because it sounds the way it does is because that's what Dave wanted to do. I don't know.
It's kind of funny, though, too. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say it could have been a specifically conscious effort to not sound like the Kinks.
Also, they did it already, right? Mm-hmm.
Geez, the Grateful Dead covered this, too.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
You're going to play that during this episode, right?
If I could find it.
Sorry to all the Deadhead fans out there, but all the Deadheads. I'm sorry, but no, not my jam.
God, I've never heard that.
Mark, isn't that your next podcast that you're doing? Right, you're doing a Grateful Dead podcast.
Yeah.
Right?
Damn it.
You got me. Was my understanding.
Yeah, you got me. You cat's out of the bag. Surprise.
Maybe save playing that song until the end when everyone's logged off.
And it'll keep going in an endless loop like all Dead songs until the next morning.
There you go. Just to Sean's point real quick, he said maybe had they released Dancing in the Streets first, it wouldn't have charted. It was a top 40 hit.
Was it during, really?
Yeah, it hit number 38. So
really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big song, yeah.
All right.
Chaz has a couple comments we should get to. This was Ed flying under the radar on synth, like on Fair Warning, a sign of things to come. And then he says, no one thought of him seriously playing with synth, so.
Ha, you dumb bastards. It was coming at you full force, whether you wanted it to or not.
Yeah. We can tell Dave's loving this song. Like, he sounds great on this track.
Yeah.
And it's a great song. Man, this is a great song. Like, that minor key into the pre-chorus there, it's beautiful. It's such a great little dynamic shift in that song. I love the original. I like some of the versions. Just, yeah. I've just got what's been bugging me. There's been something picking away at my brain.
Man.
Legs. Legs by ZZ Top.
Oh my God, it's the same beat.
Eddie loves. There you go. There's something itching them. Like, I can't quite put my finger on why this arrangement sounds somewhat familiar, and that's what it is. So.
Except Legs came out 83. This was 82.
ZZ Top stole it from Eddie. Goddamn
they stole
Texans.
It from Alex, really, because a lot of the ZZ Top stuff was based on that riding the hi-hat beat, right?
Yeah.
You know? Which I'll be honest, I'm actually grooving on the drums on this song.
Yeah.
But, you know, Alex is you know, for Van Halen, it's all Alex for me. And then it's Eddie, because I'm a drummer. But the beat in this is actually quite good. And I remember learning to play this song, and it was fucking hard. You know,
yeah, like all his simple songs are, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I like the placement of the cowbell too, because in a lot of spots it starts about an eighth note later than most people would play it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I'm like, that's definitely an Alex thing right there.
Yeah. Just behind the beat. Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, you guys are out, the guitar guys on the panel are way outnumbered by the drummers. So let's start with Todd. What did you think about that guitar solo?
The solo portion is great. I mean, he does his hammer-ons and pull-offs, and you know, his squealing and everything else. The typical Eddie. I mean, the guitar part, I have no problem with that. It's just the keyboards throughout the song. It's just so distracting. It just seems like it's almost like. It's one song, and okay, now Eddie's going to come out, and now it's going to be a whole different song. That's my opinion on it.
Mark?
It's like, we keep talking about how this was rushed, and this song was probably rushed, even the way, you know, sounding the way it does, but then, if all of that is true, and Eddie said, well, I still got to throw a solo on top of it, it was like, yeah, sure, but I mean, you know, we only have so much time. I'll think of something. And that's what he came up with? Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
He just provided you like the extra flavors. You know, some people don't season their potato salads. And Eddie gives you all the seasoning of the potato salads. And folks that don't even like potato salad would be like, that tastes really good. Because that's just what Eddie's good at. He's good at seasoning your shit to make it sound like, and well, taste so much better. So like, say what you will about the song and how it's gone so far, but how do you just not fall in love with that solo? That solo is fantastic.
Chaz says signature Eddie. Absolutely right. Okay, drummers, your time to weigh in. Let's start with Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, it's Alex, man. I mean, it's like I've said that on, I think on one of the other episodes that I was on, that I love Alex when he's sitting sort of just slightly in the pocket and really sitting on the groove. And not doing as much as he can do all the time. And this is another example of, he's just putting a beautiful little groove in there, but adding those little flavors in on cowbell. And it's typically, he's got those little hat lifts and all sorts of things. He's not doing massive fills or anything, but it's so cool because it gives so much space to the rest of the song. I think that's his strength. And that's the thing that always blows me up. And the thing that I manifested, Pound Cake, that's the best example of it. And when he does that, I think he's just such a powerful drummer and very understated in the way that he plays. So
I love what Alex does on the cymbals. Especially underneath Eddie solos, he always puts on a little flourish somewhere on a hat or something, which is just fantastic. Scott, what did you think?
I'm going to disagree with Kevin just a little bit. I think it's too simple. I like the cowbell. I think that's a great addition. It really adds a different flavor. But I would like at least a couple of transitional fills, maybe going into the powerful chorus or coming out of it back into the verse. I wouldn't want a lot of, you know, too much of that, not overextended playing, but at least a little something more transitional, because I think what he's playing is great, but it just needs a little bit more than what we're getting. But I like that he's laying back, but I think he's laying a little too far back for my taste.
All right, Sean, you're the tiebreaker. What did you think about Alex during that section?
Well, he's the only thing redeeming this song for me at the moment. So, well, no, like Dave is great. Dave's having a good time. But he's like, he's singing a different song. Like he's in a different room playing with different guys or something. But I like how he's adding in the cowbell. He's using a bit of a disco slash, like Latin beat. And I just keep thinking back to the time he was playing with his dad, with Jan. And like, they were playing all these like, They're playing a lot of different things, a lot of just completely different things, and you can see him bringing that wealth of experience in. And yeah, he's laying back, but he's still like, I got to put some shit in, and he's still putting some shit in, which is why I like Alex so much. Like even you can, like even in the solo, he's like Corey was saying, he's adding a few things in, and I could just imagine him looking at Eddie and. You know, they're kind of looking at each other and they're kind of playing off each other a little bit. And he's kind of adding little flourishes in there. So I think this is taking a very boring song and adding some flavor to it.
Wouldn't you want to be a fly on the wall? in those sessions, be a fly on the wall with Eddie and Alex working up these songs. And sort of figuring out those little bits and pieces of what, okay, I'm gonna come down here, I'm gonna play an arpeggio. So when you do that, maybe just wash a cymbal, just pride that, and when that come here and I'm gonna open up play one chord, that's where I've got to put a little bit of triplet on. So you know what I mean? Those little dynamic elements.
I bet you they don't talk about it. It's just natural. At each other and they just know. I don't know, that shit's brilliant.
Yeah.
Yep. Chaz says, this is as brown as it gets. Golden oldies became relevant to metalheads. Brilliant. So that's kind of a cool way to look at it, I thought. All right, we got 33 seconds left. Let's keep rolling.
The big rock fade out.
Mark, are you having Dustbuster issues right now?
I don't know what the hell just happened, but the Dustbuster like turned itself on and then quickly off again. Like, what? That's it. Anyway.
It's Skynet. Skynet.
Yep.
I mean, it's not even plugged in, so I don't under. So if all of you watching out there was wondering what the hell was happening with me over here, that's what happened. So
that's John Mariano possessing your equipment in your home.
God
that's
damn right. It.
He's like Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi. He's in Delaware right now, floating in the air and just fucking with your shit. Yeah.
There's nothing to do in Delaware, so he used all of his dark force power.
That's right.
To make his presence known, and it was in the form of a.
He does have a high midichlorian count, I believe. So.
100%. Yeah. If you saw his jizz, you would know. Yeah.
Maybe he's like Voldemort, and that's one of his Horcruxes. Something through that thing now, kill it.
Oh, thanks for nerding that right out. That's awesome.
Finn just said, "What if that's one of his Horcruxes?" So great, we have a Mariana Horcrux. It's like, this is a bad time to have this Death Eater tattoo.
And Mariana would 100% put a Horcrux in a Dustbuster. You know that.
He would, because you'd never expect it. You'd never expect it. So
I think it's called a Horcrux anal probe, I believe, is what it's called.
that's the other Horcrux out there. Anywho, that was Dancing in the Streets. This panel has had a lot to say about it, but now comes the real question, though, and that's when we ask, is this song what dreams are made of, or is the dream over? So we're gonna start, I think, with Kevin Brown. You know the drill. You give old Corey a thumbs up or down. Was Dancing in the Street, this cover of Van Halen of theirs, was it what dreams are made of, or what did it just not work and the dream just fell flat for you?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, like it's one of those, it's a throwaway kind of, we'll do this, and like someone else said, like it's got that feel of a Dave Lee Roth solo track. And I think, Todd, you said too, like, it's got an identity crisis. It doesn't really know what it wants to be. And that kind of sums up Dive It Down to a large extent to me. It's got that thing of, well, are we rocking? Are we popping? What's going on? So to me, it's just, it's an unfinished idea that could have been something, but it just didn't end up being anything. So.
Well, there you go. There's a one down vote. We're going to move on. Scott, what say you? You were kind of like, unfamiliar with Van Halen's go at this particular song. So, having heard what you've heard and having listened to everything that was said, is the dream over for you as well, or is this what dreams are made of?
Honestly, the thing for me, I don't think it's a bad song. But the issue that I have with it is I don't hear it as a Van Halen song. I just don't think there's enough of a Van Halen stamp on it for me to really say this is a good Van Halen song. I think this is David Lee Roth with a bunch of session musicians and Alex. I like it. I actually like the keyboards. I think they're very 80s. They would have been great on like an episode of Hunter for a car chase scene. But as a Van Halen song, I'm going to say no, it doesn't work.
Right. Ooh, that is two no's in a row. That's rare. It's rare when we get those, but here we are. And as if I even need to ask, but I'm going to ask anyway because that's the show. Sean, yay or nay?
I was very clear on our Fair Warning episode how much I hate this song, so it'd be no surprise to anybody. Even Eric was like, I think Eric thought I was being a little too harsh, but I don't know. It's a skipper for sure. I mean, the solo is great. Alex is great, but it's not enough to carry the song. Well, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all he's got now, but do go over to that episode and listen to, I'm sure, a more in-depth analysis on his reasonings there. So Todd, we befall upon you. Do you agree with Sean, or are you going to be contrary? Typical.
Yeah, everybody touched a good angle of this song so far, and they're all exactly right. I mean, Dave, this is a Dave song. This is something that he probably brought up and says, you know what, this is what I want to do. You guys figure it out. And it just kind of went the way it came together. Like, Eddie's solo was great. I mean, he did the same thing with Beat It. He just walked in here, threw something together, and he's number one. So, I mean, the solo is fine. The keyboards, I'm not a fan of. Not those keyboards, like 1984. The keyboards on that album are great. I don't know if they were just kind of experimenting to see if he could do something. But to me, it was it's definitely not one of their best songs.
Ooh, well, there you go. Almost a full sweep. So then we turn it over to my co-host, Corey. Are you on the same negative train, or are you going to shoot for the stars and say that, in fact, this is what dreams are made of?
All right, I'll tell you what. I don't disagree with anything you guys are saying. And coming into the show and we spun this, I was, this dream is over. But there's enough good stuff here. Like, I was on the fence the whole way. There's enough good stuff for me. I'm going to slightly give it, this is what dreams are made of. Because Eddie solo rocks, Alex kicks ass, and the harmonies are amazing. And Dave is really, yeah, I think his voice kind of fits the song. It reminds me a lot of Just a Gigolo, right? It's not a Van Halen song. I agree with you guys on that. The synths, I'm not anti-synth, but they sound like shit. Like, I'm not a big fan of that whole fucking vibe. But there's enough good stuff here. And I don't feel like, this should have the potential to be an 0 for 6, this song. I don't think it's as bad as an Up for Breakfast or anything like that. Or Learning to See, which is a song I hated. Or Spanked, of course, Kevin's favorite. But there's just enough here. I'm just going to edge it out. And I also feel like, because Eric Senich would be here thumbs-upping all the live long day, he loves this song. So I got a little bit of Eric on my side too. I figure I got to throw this a vote. On the fence, but there's just enough good stuff. I'm going to say this is what dreams are made of, but barely. And actually, Chaz, not real happy with the way the vote's going, says, Jesus, good times and parties. Let's listen to some Tool and Nirvana instead. There you go. Rainbow Flame says, this may not be a great song after it's dissected 40 years later, but I remember when it came out and we all found it to be fantastic. Gene says this song is one of those instances where the individual parts are greater than the sum. Sure, yeah, all that's true. So we got four are definite. This dream is over. One is a slight. That's what dreams are made of. Mark Kammeyer, you're the last one to vote. What say you? Is this what dreams are made of, or is this dream over?
Let me tell you boys something. Nostalgia is a very powerful thing, okay? And there's a lot of nostalgia that comes with this particular song. I mentioned the sister act thing. Yeah, sure. But then when I heard Van Halen's version, I went, oh, and I'm a kid when I heard this this track. And I go, oh, that sounds way better because it's Van Halen. Like, oh, I know who those guys are. Cool. They're actually, it's a good rock band doing this song that should, by all intents and purposes, not be in their wheelhouse whatsoever. and yet I find it enjoyable. Literally everything Corey said about all the good that is involved with the song is what I take away with it as well. I think the harmonies, yeah, there's not a lot of harmonies in it, but when they come in, they are tight. They are absolutely on par, which is where they need to be. That is just, I mean, that's the beauty of Van Halen, really, as a band, Michael, Eddie, you know, everybody. And honestly, listening to it and knowing what we know about how passionate, for lack of a better term, how passionate Dave was about doing this particular track. And when you know that and you listen to it and you listen to the way he is singing it, I don't know. It almost feels like, look at that. Dave is actually having fun. And when Dave's having fun, the whole band's having fun, because you know, if he's not having fun, then nobody's having fun, because he's Mr. Fun Guy. Would it have been better of a track on his solo outing? Probably. But then you wouldn't have gotten that rip-roaring solo by Eddie Van Halen. And honestly, we have discussed tracks in the past that have been not so great, that but have been saved by the beauty of Eddie's solo. I think you could arguably put this particular track in that category too, at least for me. But as I say, nostalgia is a powerful thing. So if nothing else, and again, as Corey said, I don't disagree with all the points you all made, because is it a great Van Halen song? Well, no, because one, it's not a Van Halen song. But did they make it their own? Yeah, I think they did, in their own kind of way, and it works for me. And that's all that I need personally. So at the risk of being a contrarian, there it is. For me, Dancing in the Streets is what dreams are made of. So there you are.
The Mariano influence is strong. The Mariano influence, it's just rubbed off. You were agreeing with him all last week, and, you know, I don't know.
Well, I did use the Dustbuster not that long ago, and when you touch a Horcrux, you know, it's like the influence kind of gets to you a little bit. So, yeah, maybe there's some.
Is Mariano in Delaware, or is he in the background of your pick, your frame there? Is
He's right behind you.
He's playing cards with Christie. Am I?
And he's losing, right? So fuck him.
He's going to be delighted. We've mentioned him so many times on this broadcast. So.
Oh, yeah.
He will.
Of course. He's going to start a new podcast with you, Corey, and it's going to be just about him.
That's all I need is another goddamn podcast. Speaking of which, I got a piss, Mark. Why don't you wrap this one up so we can take a break before show two?
That's right. We are live, so there you go. You guys, that will do it for show number one, you guys. That's right. We are doing two shows because it's a live show. But on behalf of everybody on the panel, Kevin, Scott, Sean, Todd, and Corey, and myself, there you go. Please tune in for part two of our show next week if you're tuning in after the live show. But if you're here with us live, just stay put, because we're going to come back at you again with another show, with another spin of the wheel from Van Halen. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later. Happy holidays.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts, And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.